from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Hundreds of parents, teachers, and activists rallied yesterday in downtown L.A. outside LAUSD headquarters. Inside, board members spent 5 hours considering the future of their relationship with Superintendent John Daisy. Before the performance review, Daisy hinted he may resign early. That set off a flurry of fear and excitement, reflecting conflicting opinions about his tenure atop the nation's number two school district. Ahead of the meeting, U.S. Secretary Arne Duncan said, quote, "I don't think anybody would claim victory here, but L.A. is absolutely going in the right direction." Board members did extend Daisy's contract, prompting the head of the teachers' union to say in a statement, "It is unbelievable they did so." Quote, "Despite a clear message from L.A.'s teachers, Daisy's leadership is anything but satisfactory." It's picking time for wine vineyards in the central California community of Paso Robles, and the farmers are bringing in a rich harvest. But as vineyards proliferate around this farm town halfway between L.A. and San Francisco, residential wells are starting to go dry. Some are calling the plight of Paso Robles a good example of what's wrong with the state's unregulated groundwater supply. Chris Richard reports.
Denise Smith's well suddenly went dry in June, and she's been trucking in water ever since. She's gotten showers down to 45 seconds. There are plastic buckets in her bathtub and in all the sinks, so she can use water twice, and as much as possible, she eats off paper plates. She uses the dishwasher once a week.
If I even use the water, you know, it's just turning on real quick and like this. I keep a bucket here and put my silverware in there and stuff before I put it into the dishwasher.
But there's been nothing she can do for her garden. She had corn, pumpkins, tomatoes, fruit trees. Now, when she touches the leaves of her plants, they crumble. Like many of her neighbors, Smith posted "Save Our Wells" placards along the road by her house. Also, like her neighbors, she blames Paso Robles wine vineyards.
They just keep planting more and more, and the wells are going deeper, and the water usage is so much that, you know, it's taken all the water from people.
Until fairly recently, cattle ranching, grain, and especially almonds dominated the local farm economy. But the energy crisis of the 1970s drove up the cost of pumping irrigation water from the ground. Farmers needed a crop that commanded a high enough price to pay those energy bills. It turns out that Paso Robles, with its warm days and cool nights, is prime wine grape country. At the Pomar Junction Vineyard and Winery, 10 miles southwest of Denise Smith's bone-dry yard, the vines are thriving. With harvest underway, seventh-generation farmer Dana Merrill plucks a bunch of small, deep purple fruit. Do you like grapes?
Yeah, this is these are Syrah, and they're 24-25% sugar.
Wine grapes were a godsend. I mean, literally, we would not be in agriculture if it wasn't for wine grapes, because the other crops just aren't economically viable in this area anymore.
Local grapes bring as much as $2,000 a ton, three times the state average. Farmers here irrigate from the Paso Robles groundwater basin, subterranean beds of sand and gravel that hold one of California's largest water supplies. People thought they'd never run out. But with agriculture and development booming, water levels started dropping. To keep water flowing, a property owner can dig a deeper well, but that can cost at least $30,000, and lots of people say they can't afford it. That troubles vineyard owner Kathleen Moss. To minimize her own pumping, she's installed a $250,000 recycling system. When she washes her grapes, the system uses gravity to run wastewater through a series of filtration tanks and back into storage for irrigation. It hurt her feelings when a neighbor with a dry household well put up a sign blaming the vineyards.
I didn't take her water, and I wouldn't want to. You know, I'm doing everything I can to conserve. I tore out my lawn at home, and we'll continue to pursue every avenue we can. And yet, there's just no way it can be one single source who's responsible for all of this.
It's true that Paso Robles' population has tripled in recent years, and a thriving tourist trade draws on groundwater as well. Still, farms use about two-thirds of the water. San Luis Obispo County supervisors have imposed an emergency ban on all kinds of new wells. But right now, they lack legal authority to limit how much owners of existing wells can pump.
That's the tragedy of the commons.
County Supervisor Adam Hill is referring to the classic explanation in economics of how people use more than their share for short-term gain. And that hurts everybody.
That's the problem that we're faced with now, and that I believe more and more of California counties are going to be faced with if they're not already.
County authorities, farmers, and homeowner representatives are trying to establish a local water management district that could monitor usage, pipe in a new supply, and set up water recycling and storage facilities. Richard Frank, director of the California Environmental Law and Policy Center at UC Davis, says such districts can be effective.
But that is very hit and miss. And the problem is that hydrology and groundwater don't follow political boundaries. And then it gets difficult, if not impossible, for local jurisdictions to manage groundwater that they share with jurisdictions outside of their own.
In Arizona, Colorado, and New Mexico, anybody who wants to extract groundwater needs a state permit, and state regulators monitor pumping. Texas has administrative regions that govern entire aquifers. In California, the State Legislative Analyst's Office has twice recommended similar systems. Meanwhile, overpumping is depleting groundwater throughout the state. UC Irvine Professor Jay Famiglietti is using satellites to track the damage caused by unrestricted pumping in the Central Valley.
That region is losing about 3 cubic kilometers of water a year. So every dozen or so years, we're losing about the full volume of Lake Mead's worth of groundwater.
California relies on subterranean aquifers for about a third of its water supply, and even more in drought years. Famiglietti likens California's current lack of systematic regulation to a family that fails to monitor withdrawals from its bank account. If that goes on too long, he says, the checks will start to bounce. For the California Report, I'm Chris Richard in Paso Robles.
That's the California Report for Wednesday, October 30th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians, on the web at chcf.org. Barracuda Networks, innovators of simple solutions to complex IT problems, such as email archiving for compliance and litigation readiness. Barracuda.com. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.